I'm going to name this episode after that. You're going to have to wait 23 minutes to figure out what the hell
was. Don't do the cold open. Just... Hi.
Hello, everybody. I heard literally no claps at all whatsoever, so for a second, I thought it broke.
Oh.
It ain't broke, don't fix it.
It ain't broke, don't fix it. Welcome to Sit Don't Get
Gerbils in Your Pipes.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a bad
definitely
time.
Don't get gerbils in your pipes. Yeah, that's definitely a bad time. Welcome to Sit Sock, everybody. I'm Kendrick.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Joe.
Yeah, Kevin.
Nice. Gerbils in Your Pipes sounds like the name of a different podcast that is very similar to Sit Sock, but it talks about other things like... Right. That I don't know that I have any interest in.
I feel like that's almost like a kink-based one.
I was thinking more of like a psychology one where like, you have gerbils in your pipes. We've got to work it out, you know?
Okay, okay.
But also, I did immediately go to that whole like, yeah
gerbil. I went the gross way because I'll tend to do that, but...
You do, yeah.
Did you guys know South Park's still a thing?
Yeah.
Like, it's still going.
They have... Yeah. Matt Stone and Trey Parker have gone on record, I think several years ago, that they have been actively trying to kill the show. They are trying.
Are they even involved in it anymore?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're still doing it. They're like, it's still their thing, but they have been trying to do whatever they can without like straight up violating, like directly violating FCC regulations and that sort of thing. To get the show pulled off the air. That's why I think it was like 2018 or 2019. They did like this whole advertising bit of hashtag end South Park or something to that effect. They started it. They're like, yeah, kill our show. Fucking do it. We're tired. We don't know where else to go.
They probably make so much money off that show, it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
They're set for life. Their children are set for life.
Yeah.
Children's children.
Is that the modern day robber barons of like, or like the people who are successful on television? Like,
I think it's going to be YouTubers, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, I guess, sorry, like maybe like Generation Z or Generation X, like that was Generation X, right? Because that was like the 90s and those guys were already around then.
Yeah, they were Gen Xers.
Gen Xers are like the TV successful TV people, like Carson.
The young
Daly,
successful TV people,
yeah, people that have just like made so much money in the short time they were on television, they don't have to do anything anymore.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Plus,
I saw
they're probably still making it after, even if the show shuts down.
Oh yeah, just from royalties and stuff alone.
Mm-hmm. I saw that Sacha Baron Cohen just accepted. MTV award, I think, and then canceled himself.
He canceled himself.
Oh. Yes, he canceled himself. I'll have to pull the video up.
I done canceled myself.
Well, because he had Borat. It was a pre-recorded acceptance speech, so he had Borat accepted, and then Ali G came up and tried to take it, and then Sacha Baron Cohen showed up and pointed out, "It's like you guys are really offensive. You're a racist stereotype, and I don't know what the fuck you're doing here." And then he went on and on about how important, how much you value this and how great it was. And then Bruno, I think, the other one, the German fetishist character, shows up in a kind of costume that only Bruno would wear. And he like calls out as like, you're only acceptable if you're calling out homophobia like directly. This is not okay what you're doing right now. And as he's saying it to himself, and then he decides, I'm gonna get ahead of everybody else here. I'm canceling myself. Okay, you can keep the effing trophy. I don't care. And he just leaves and then hands it to Bruno.
Awesome.
And it's like, I don't know what just happened here. I don't know who just played who, and I'm very confused and kind of scared. I don't know if Sacha Baron Cohen knows what happens. He's like 50.
Is he really? Because so's Vin Diesel, yeah. And I didn't realize that.
Well, the Rock's getting up there too, isn't he?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
probably. And Jason Statham too. He's like 40 or 45.
A lot of those guys are getting up there. I mean, but yeah, it's just weird to think like Sacha Baron Cohen didn't. I mean, he started decades ago.
The Ali G
show is way old. But we didn't get it out here as much. Like people didn't. I don't think people got into it as much until Borat. Right.
Yeah, because I see.
Which
what's funny is
here.
Like I think it's because it's exactly that because I didn't remember like that Ali G was a thing. Like I didn't know Ali G was a thing until well after the Borat movie had come out. And then it was like, oh, now he's doing this. And as it turns out, no, he'd been doing that and then did the thing that I knew him for.
Yeah, so the Ali G show was from the year 2000.
Is that the next phase of cancel culture? Is like
canceling yourself?
Yeah, like, I mean, is that so? Like, that's interesting because you think about like how PR personnel have dealt with things in the past and how like you used to how it would be interesting to see like a PR person's take on like getting ahead of stuff, right? Like, how do you get ahead of something nowadays when everything is so transparent because of the internet, or not transparent, that's not the right word, everything is so exposed whether or not it's true or
everybody's accessible.
Yeah, and how do you get ahead of something? You can almost never get ahead of something, I imagine, you know, and you have to always be reacting as a PR person, as opposed to back in the day when you're like, oh, we have a something that we know about that we are going to release in our own time, but we have to do some like grooming first, right? You're just always having to like be like, oh well, you know, I'm going to, like, as you do this, we're going to be the first ones to cancel us. So that way, you know, we can't be canceled.
Well, I think that the cancel culture, like, thing, the whole concept is probably going to have to play out at one point. Like, I don't think it's sustainable.
It's like a meme, almost. Like, there's, like, the, what is it, the end party, or, like, what is it, the, is over party thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over party.
Yeah. You guys heard of over party?
I thought it was Overwatch related, so I got confused. And it turns out it's just shits on the internet being shits on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you cancel somebody, you do hashtag over party to celebrate that you canceled them and destroyed them. Mm-hmm. Or either destroyed their career or feel like you destroyed their career because you shut them down on the internet.
I mean, to be fair, it's like... It's not a new concept.
Like, no.
It's been around since the beginning of time. We've just changed what it's called. It's just changed the
cavemen were canceling each other. That's asinine.
Exhalation, excommunication. That it's that. It's literally, it's just ostracization called
something.
But
the cycles
are
shorter. The whole thing is the cycles are shorter, and it's not coming from institutions anymore. It's coming from randos. That's the big change. It's like you can say something, it can be heard around the world within 24 hours, and then you can have tanked your career in that same 24 hours. Like that used to take like weeks.
Yeah, you could like go to sleep and wake up and you're done.
Yeah. Or you could have done nothing and someone finds a tweet you made 10 years ago out of context.
I think that's another thing that I get a little frustrated by in certain scenarios is... Like, I understand, like, standing up for somebody who's part of a group that wants to be represented and things like that, but I feel like you should also make sure that that group actually wants your representation there. But I also am learning so much about, like, have you guys ever heard of colorism?
Not by that name.
No.
Might be the concept related to it.
So basically, like, I learned the other day is that colorism is a thing. It's like racism, but it's like it has to do with like the darkness of your skin in terms of like maybe another ethnic group making fun of another ethnic group that's not white. So like Hispanics and blacks like interacting, and the Hispanics are being like somewhat racist to the black people, right? Like that's colorism. And is this like a subset of racism?
I feel like, and this is just my, you know, cis white straight man opinion, I feel like that's just racism.
It is, but it's different because colorism is seen as more okay when in reality it isn't. Because, I don't think it is, but anyway, like, it's seen as more acceptable because it's at least not the white person being racist.
Does that apply to people of an ethnicity making racist remarks about their own ethnicity?
I don't think so. That's the thing, is because it's like colorism specifically revolves around the color of your skin and how you're treating other people that are a darker color.
It's just,
which is so specific and weird that it's really hard to wrap your head around.
I find it stupid, but again, as I don't really have a place at that table, so I don't necessarily. I don't know. I don't know what to say without getting canceled.
It feels to me like somebody really needed a thesis statement for their doctoral like dissertation in race relations or whatever, a semi-applied socioeconomic whatever from Berkeley, and that's just what they ended up with.
It's apparently like a pretty prevalent thing in the talking of the culture, because like,
well, I haven't heard about it till now.
Amy like read a book on it, I guess, before I learned about it, and so like I promise I'm not just making this up. Like,
I'm not saying you're making it up. I'm just saying replace the words I said doctoral thesis with book deal.
Sure. No, I guess I just wanted them. You know, I'm very sensitive to the fact that, you know, when we only hear who screams the loudest, so I just want to, like, you know, preface anything I say
somebody
with the idea
squeezing
that,
the dog.
Yeah, anything I say with the fact that, like, you know, of course what I'm saying is only relevant to the people and things that I've heard and experienced, blah, blah, blah. So as that should always be assumed, though. Hole. Yeah.
I did find something else semi-related to the other thing we said. I didn't know this, but Tesla phased out their whole PR department back in November.
But that doesn't really surprise me, though.
They just don't have a PR department anymore.
Like, why do they need one?
Well, there's a reason why every article about Tesla since then says, we've reached out to Tesla, but they haven't replied to our requests.
I mean, I guess it's one of those things where, like, you either don't care about what Tesla's doing, or you do care, right? And if you do care, you're in probably one of two camps where you hate them, or you like what they're doing. I mean, like, it seems pretty, like, cut and dry. And
I think they just kind of gave up trying to rail in Elon.
Yeah,
so
right.
They're just like, you know what? Fuck it. Just let the rumors go. And we have a customer base now.
Why spend money
care.
On it when we could spend that money on other stuff? Like, well, we're not going to control him anyway.
Yeah,
so.
It feels like they're just kind of leaning really hard into the no such thing as bad publicity mindset of it. They're just like, yeah, he's still going to be. They're still going to be the people who are going to buy into what we're doing. And there's still going to be the people that are going to fight against it. And Elon's basically the face of all of it.
And he's like, I don't know. I don't think he's the worst person that's ever been a bajillionaire. You know, I like that he's kind of interacting with people and says stupid shit and it makes himself look more human and, you know. Like,
certainly better than Warren Buffett.
Yeah, or like Jeff Bezos. Like, I've never heard that guy say a fucking thing. I've never heard anything about him.
Bezos has gone for the if you don't say anything, you can't say the wrong thing system.
Yeah, I don't even know if that guy can talk, or if he's just had some Amazon implant some kind of psychic chip in his head, and now he just like transmits his thoughts to all the Amazon employees during like more board meetings and stuff. That would be cool.
That's possible. But yeah, the article about Tesla was on the new full autopilot mode they're talking about having. Which isn't legal
in the same way that like weed isn't legal, or like,
well, like there are no states apparently in the United States that allow a fully autonomous vehicle.
What a fucking hack. That's so stupid to me.
Why? I don't know.
So like,
is that because like there's nobody to
prosecute? No, it's fucking lobbying is what it is. It has nothing to do with real liability.
I feel like that's the thing, is like there's in the case of an accident, there's no one to prosecute but the company itself, and not like an actual individual. So
what before on Tesla made it to where it wasn't fully automatic?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand.
Yeah.
So that was actually what the article was about too. It was a big article. It was about how a guy just got a ticket for inattentive driving because he was passed out driving home in a Tesla. It was driving, and the cops, he wouldn't pull over until the cops like came up behind him and honked the horns at him and stuff until he like woke up. And then they gave him a ticket for inattentive driving. And that was over like a 4-minute period.
Like,
4 minutes of driving is a lot of time.
Why was,
right?
So wait. I know, and this is something you don't have to answer. I just am trying to speculate. Were they pulling him over, do you think, specifically because they saw him asleep at the wheel? Or was it because the self-driving car was doing something that it shouldn't have been doing, like speeding or swerving?
I think it might have been speeding, but they looked over and they saw a man clearly asleep at the wheel.
My thing would be, like, if you saw a dude clearly asleep and his hands weren't touching the steering wheel, like, I mean, that's probably more attentive than trying to, like, half-drive asleep, you know?
Well, you're not currently, the way Tesla gets around that is, you're not allowed to do that. You're not supposed to do that.
You're not supposed
to
be asleep.
You need to have your hands ready, and it's supposed to do a thing where it jostles you every now and again to make you put your hands on the wheel to make sure you're paying attention.
Sure.
But I mean, but it is fully
autonomous,
automatic then.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it can be.
Okay.
But currently, it's stated that it isn't, so you don't do that. The newest version, so that's mostly only for highways.
Okay.
Like it's not very good at like stop and go traffic.
That makes sense.
But the new one is apparently 100% fully autonomous. They already have Teslas that will bring themselves to you, which is a mildly terrifying concept if you've ever seen a parking lot in your life. But yeah, so there's a whole legal quagmire here, and I think Tesla's main system is we're just going to make the cars and then fucking deal with it, which I can appreciate to some extent.
Yeah, like the money that they could make and the way they could change the industry may not be worth the fines they pay or something, right? Like, but the other part is I feel like there's a really interesting graph to be drawn about self-driving cars, like the transition of self-driving cars over time. Like the more cars you have, sorry, that's not the right axis. The x-axis is introducing like the percentage of self-driving cars versus non-self-driving cars, right? So 0 is 100% non-self-driving cars, and 100 is 100% self-driving cars, right? And the y-axis is the amount of anxiety / like fear of death you might feel in any given situation where there's more than 10 cars, right? And it goes like we're at a spot now where most people are comfortable driving cars, right? Like, you have a certain amount of anxiety and fear of death whenever you drive a car, but, like, it's a general anxious, there's a general amount. Then it starts to go up as, like, more self-driving cars get introduced because people are scared of them or whatever. And then eventually when you get enough of, like, a saturation of the market, it starts to go way down, like, really sharply down because everything is just automated. The cars talk to each other. They don't hit. There's not as many accidents because, like, they're better than us, right? They drive better than us in a normal day, everyday scenarios. And like then you get to that point where like you basically have less fear than you started with. You just have to get there, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's pretty clear that one of the leading causes of death in the United States is human-caused vehicle collisions.
Yeah, like drunk driving or falling asleep at the wheel or being inattentive.
It is the top three. Like it's that, and then it's how like you lump up cardiovascular and cancer.
Yeah.
Like, that's what pushes it out. Because if you break cancer into every type of cancer, it gets pushed out. But if you just say cancer and heart disease, cars, it's up there. It's, like, right there. So, yeah, if we could get rid of that, that would probably keep a lot more people alive and happy and healthy and safe.
Astonishing concept, right?
You're always going to have, like, those gear-grinding truckers, though, that will never switch
That's
true, but they also have a much lower fatality rate because they're also much like they're driving for a living, so they're not texting necessarily. Right. Presumably, they're not.
But they don't live as long because they have to do stimulants and things like that to drive cross country. It's more demanding. There's aspects of that.
That's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, but I guess the other part too is even if like those people are driving for a job, right?
Well, yeah. I get put out of the job. Strictly truckers. I mean, just like those old school guys that only want to feel the motor under their foot, you know.
They can go to a racetrack or they can go buy some property or something, you know. They don't need
either
to drive
even
on the
if
road.
They don't, we could require inexpensive retrofitting sensors and then you just trigger all the cars just give them a wide fucking berth, right? Like watch out for that jackass.
I was suggesting to Dennis that they basically have their own lane. Like you have to pay a premium like you do now to drive in a lane with only human drivers.
Yeah.
And then you get to be sad when all the fucking self-driving cars are driving faster than you and the traffic is bumper to bumper, but you're still stuck in the fucking human lane because some fucking rubbernecker wants to look at a really pretty bird or sees a text message they have to answer.
Was that a dog?
It's just like they're just flying down the highway at like 160 miles an hour completely in control and then they're just
five inches away from the car in front of them. Yeah.
One like line of cars just back to back honking.
They're all like old Studebakers.
But if we get there, that's what it's going to be like, right? Is like some roads will probably be like if you couldn't afford one. Like that's going to be part of the transition, I imagine, is it's going to start off as lanes for only self-driving cars. And then those are going to get bigger. You know, it's going to be more of a thing. And then there's only going to be like lanes for non-self-driving cars or something. And then it's all going to go away or something. Because I would pay money to have a lane that only had self-driving cars because they would be able to drive so much more efficiently.
Yes. Well, and we're getting to a point where we might see autonomous vehicles become more prevalent in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Like that's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And the liability issue is one thing we're just going to have to figure out. But I think that there's a lot to be said for being able to get into a vehicle and not concern yourself with operating that vehicle at all.
Yeah.
That's a huge selling point.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being able to, like, drink in a car? Or, like,
yeah,
be able to, like, not have to be so concerned about, you know, like, oh, I can't drink. It's got to be a DD. I can't do these, like, I can't do these legal drugs. I can't, like, take right. medicine for a cold. I blah, blah, blah.
Well, and there's a whole other level, too, where if we get to a point where we've got all these, like, presumably electric, because that's whatever, but self-driving cars, you might choose to not own one, and you could just subscribe to, like, a Lyft, Uber sort of situation. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to worry about parking, right? You're just like, send me a vehicle, and then
they go back to their hub and charge, and then go for the next thing, yeah.
And if you did that clever, then when I just need to go to your house, get fucking turnt and then leave, I can get a smart car because I don't need it. But if I need to, like, move furniture or a whole bunch of us are going somewhere, we can get in a van or a truck or something, right? Like, be much more efficient use of all the resources.
Yeah, I agree.
Like what buses are supposed to be, but are failing miserably at, and I'm still salty about.
Buses and trains and trams and what have you.
Yeah. Especially just surface road buses because of the congestion that they cause. Which never figures into the equations when they're talking about how great they are.
I think it's funny that, like, there's a lot of stuff up on 36th. 36th is a highway in Colorado for anybody listening outside the state, where there's, like, specific, like, bus exit lanes and things like that, which mm-hmm. I think is pretty smart, because what you're doing is not causing a gigantic traffic jam on an exit, like, you know, or yeah. something, and that seems just as smart as having a bike lane and stuff like that. On
well, and eventually we'll probably have an electric or a self-driven car lane, right? Mm-hmm. Like, take this corner, because we don't expect normal people to figure out how to do it safely, but the robot cars can figure it out, so.
Yeah. Like, this is going to be a real hairpin turn. You're going to go around a really quick thing, but the robot car can do these things that a human just isn't reliably able to do. That would be so cool. Like, the way that right. roads are going to change based off of self-driving cars is going to be absolutely insane.
Well,
and fun.
One of the things that's like most interesting is how much of...
Yeah, yeah.
There's, like, loop-de-loops.
One of the things that I always find interesting is how much of road construction is built around stopping you from doing something stupid.
Exactly.
Like going into oncoming traffic or whatever. Because if you think about it, you really don't need a central median at all. You really don't need, you know, guardrails and all the stuff we have. You could easily... You don't really need lane markers, frankly. You could just have a paved 50-foot wide stretch of tarmac,
like,
and India. Then yeah, but rather than care about, well, this lane's going this way and this lane's going that way, when traffic is slow, you widen up the size going this way and you narrow the ones going that way.
Yeah, like a hiking trail, right? You, like, kind of pull over for the people yeah. coming downhill and vice versa, but, like, more practical in practice. Yeah,
yeah. So, like, maybe on I-25 at 7 a.m or 9 a.m there's 5 or 6 northbound lanes. And, or I guess it depends on what time of day. Never mind, I should say 5 or 6 southbound lanes and then 1 northbound lane
mm-hmm.
because no one's going north that time of day. Everyone's going south.
Yeah.
And then maybe as it transitions into the afternoon, it slowly moves back to even and then eventually goes back to the other way, right? If you did that with humans, they'd fucking kill themselves.
Yeah, they would. Yeah. And I mean, I honestly, like, I feel like it's just going to be one of those things where we have to have more people that are fine with this kind of, like, I'd rather not do this task and then hand it off to something that can automate it, you know. And a lot of, I think, Gen Z, millennials, and for so
many Zoomers
are, like, basically
pull one
people,
for the team.
Yeah, they're basically people who are like,
kill
yeah,
another thing,
F
kill
it.
Cars.
You know, I don't need to do this thing. I just need to, like, you know, like, if this is automated, I have so much more time for X. Like, you know, and I don't have to think about driving. I don't know. There's going to be, Kevin's right, there's going to be these, like, there's going to be movies made about, like, ah, yeah, self-driving cars and stuff, and now I'm just an old man, and Fast and the Furious are going to get weird, but, you know, we'll make it do. We'll make do.
Yeah, I want to point out that we don't currently have a horse lane.
It's true.
So, obviously, there's some changes that can get
no,
made.
No, unfortunately not. But, yeah, that's it. Well, there's one thing I was going to say, the other thing, but I can't remember. But
Okay.
I don't know.
Like, comment, and subscribe, everybody. That was a rambling sit sock of God. I don't even remember what
was,
we said. But
yeah,
here we are.
That was pure stream of consciousness today. We've hit sure the purity.
Make sure to catch Electric and Curious 5 in theaters next month.
Electric and Curious?
Yeah. Yeah, the Fast and Furious.
It's Fast and Furious 15, man. Come on.
What's
rebrand?
What? This is just called F9. It's not even.
No, it's 15.
No, that's.
It's after the electric cars. He made a
joke.
Oh,
it was a joke.
But
Kyle.
But the
joke.
Curious part, I want to know more. I want to know.
We were
so
just
much
talking
more
about exactly electric cars, and we were curious the whole time.
Oh, okay, got it. No, I connected those dots for our stupid reviewers.
I'm gonna name this episode after that. You're gonna have to wait 23 minutes to figure out what the hell.
Beautiful. Bye, don't everybody do the cold open. Just all right.
Yeah,
bye.
Nope. Bye.